There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey guys, we are here with the Hollywood Life podcast, and I have so many questions because we have a very, very special guest here today, and you all are going to know her. We are here with Rachel Lindsay, former bachelorette, and still engaged after The Bachelorette. And we have so much to talk about. And we're also here with Ali Stegnita, our on-air anchor and entertainment writer. And she's just jam-packed with questions.
Oh, I'm so excited. I love Rachel. Rachel and I are already like best friends.
No, you guys have pumped me up. I'm like ready to go. We had such good conversation before.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Yes, we do, because we have questions. And of course, it was just, you know, in recent days that we had the Bachelor final. So we're like right in Bachelor Nation timing. And we have here in our studio, Nick, the silent producer. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
So Rachel, welcome to Hollywood Life.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
So wow, happy to have you. We've been fans since day one.
Yeah, I thought that you were a fabulous bachelorette, and for many reasons. But one of my key reasons was, and you can answer questions about this too, is that you really asked questions about your suitors and had serious conversations about life goals and what were their views on important things about, like, if you're getting married, do you want to have children and where do you want to live and how do you feel about me working and what about your career and would you move? And I don't think I saw one of those conversations with Colton this season, but that is more typical on the show, that you don't see those kind of conversations that are normal if you're thinking about getting married to somebody. So do they happen, or was this like you wanted to make sure?
Yeah, for me, I was more focused on the relationships that were in front of me rather than that I was putting on a show. And I'm not saying that someone else was doing that, but I think it's hard to separate the fact that you're trying to establish these relationships, but you're also filming a TV show. And for me, I was very much so 31, turned 32 while filming the show, taking a break from law. I wasn't going to waste my time doing it. I thought, okay, I'm here to see if I can find someone to spend the rest of my life with. So there's certain questions that just have to be asked.
Yeah, you know what exactly.
I mean? Like, yes, the drama in the house, you talk about that, but it's like, okay, life outside of that, I need to see if we can work in real life. So I have questions I need to ask.
But you were also a bachelor contestant, like a bachelorette for, was it Chris Soules?
No,
your bachelor?
Nick Vile.
Oh, for Nick. Oh, that's right. The infamous Nick. And so when you were being the contestant, did Nick ask those questions to you or did you bring them up? I think you brought them up in conversations with him.
Yeah, Nick really didn't.
There is no way Nick did.
He talked about, and it's funny, I remember I took Nick to church, okay?
Yes.
And I was like, on a Sunday, this is typically what goes down for me. And so I wanted it to be as real as possible. And I remember we were talking about religion and he was kind of like, let's talk about something else. And I'm like, but that's kind of real life. That was like one of the realest conversations we had had in front of the camera. And I just think sometimes people don't think it's interesting enough. It's entertaining enough. I mean, I tried, but Nick was more about talking about what was in front of us. Like the date we just went on. And yeah.
But then how do you choose a life mate? Because a lot of people do on the show. They end up engaged and a number of them have gotten married.
Well, like, I think the percentage is low for the ones that have actually worked, and that's because I think people don't separate Bachelor World from real life. Like, there are a number of people on my season that in that world we would have worked perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
But there was only one person who I felt I would work with outside of it and in real life. And you can't know that unless you ask real life questions.
That's why I feel like Bachelor in Paradise actually has a better success rate, because the dynamics are so different and the downtime with each other is so different that you're able to actually kind of have those discussions without
the cameras,
all the chaos.
Yeah. I have two good friends, Raven and Astrid, who have had very successful relationships from Bachelor in Paradise. And that's what I think.
Are they still together?
They're still together.
Who are each of them with? Remind us.
Astrid is with Kevin. Mm-hmm. He was from Canada.
And she moved together.
And she moved to Canada for him. And then Raven is with Adam, who was on my season.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember Adam.
And she moved to Dallas for him.
Yeah.
And so it really does work, which I think is funny about Colton's season, because the way he kind of broke the mold, he created a Bachelor in Paradise situation.
Right.
He got to date her for a week with all the other girls gone and just kind of have the pressure away from, like, the ring. Like, they still had the virginity pressure, but they have, like, the ring thing was gone. That's Bachelor in Paradise.
Right. Exactly.
And listen, it seems to have worked. They look like they were thrilled last night. I mean, they truly look like they're in love now. So,
what do you think?
She's skeptical.
Lindsay is skeptical. I'm so bad at controlling my facial expressions. If we weren't in person, you would have never known that. I think that it is easy to get caught up in the whirlwind of things right now. When you're in hiding, you are protected. And people can speculate that you're together. They can kind of have their opinions based on watching the show. But you are hidden, get to see each other privately from everybody else. And it is a lovely time. Then you put your relationship on display for everyone to pick apart and critique. This is when it gets hard now. And so I just feel like they're young and
they're very young
into each other. Mm-hmm. And I think their feelings aren't on the same page. And I just think they're
still?
Just like, I really do think I, so
you still think he's more in love with her than she
100%.
Is.
100%. I think she's caught up in everything. And we'll see what happens when I am rooting for them. I just want to say that. I always root for people in love. I just think that we'll see what happens when the cameras go away. And now real life hits.
Right. And the other thing is, though, she is very young. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's only just like 27, but she's only 23, which is very young to be making life decisions or even getting engaged decisions.
Right. I agree.
Well, and I feel like she is very caught up in the whole thing, like you said. And I also think that we briefly spoke about this to each other, just her family was so involved. And so it's just going to be interesting to see how it plays out and how it plays out in the next few weeks once the cameras go away. And you had mentioned, Rachel, your experience after the final rose. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, let's just remind our listeners that Rachel got engaged to Brian. Oh, I'm going to mispronounce his last name.
Abasolo.
Mm-hmm. Brian Abasolo. And he is based in Miami. You were based in Houston.
Dallas.
Mm-hmm. So I knew it was one of those Texas cities. Okay. You were based in Dallas. But that's good, though, because you didn't get the hurricane. And so it wasn't like it was going to be easy for you because you were going to have to deal with long distance. Now, is he still a trainer? I remember he was a trainer.
So he's actually moved into that. So he did move to Dallas for me, which is great.
Okay. So that's something everybody doesn't know.
No. And he got his license. He's a chiropractor by trade. So he got his license to practice in Texas, but he's really trying to grow the fitness, personal training, nutrition side of things. And he's built his own lifestyle and wellness brand. And so that's what he's focusing a lot on now too.
But you have some news because he moved for you because you were still practicing law at your law firm, and you have just left the law firm a little over a couple of months ago, and you were practicing civil defense litigation.
Yes.
And
so fun.
Very, very different from being the Bachelorette. So you were practicing law and he moved for you, but you just want to break the news to our audience that about where you are going now.
Yes, I am returning the favor. I am moving to Miami.
Which is where Brian's from.
Which is where Brian's from, yes. And it just makes more sense. You know, sometimes you have to make those sacrifices for the relationship. I'm traveling all the time anyway, and he supported me. Now it's my turn to do the same for him.
But why move back? Like, he already set up a practice in Dallas.
Well, he hadn't actually. He hadn't set it up there. And so to answer your question, it is better for him to do that in Miami, just with his connections.
Definitely.
And like who he knows and his team is there. So like, I want to go back and do that with him.
And Miami's such a fit town too. So it's such a great place to do it. And also, I mean, I know you're like a Texas girl, but I feel like you're going to be a good East Coaster.
Do you think
Yeah,
so?
I do.
Thank you for that compliment.
I do. From a Jersey girl, I think you're going to be good.
I'm embracing it now. Like, yeah. People are like, wow, you're moving to Miami. And I said, listen, I'm going to be honest. It took me a while to get here. I like change, but I'm kind of like, Texas is great for all these reasons. But
and also your family was there.
My family's there and his family's all in Miami. But it just took some time for me to get there. I don't want to make it seem like I was just so on board.
Right. Well, because you're a strong woman, and that's something that Bonnie, I remember when we watched your season, would just say after every episode, she would come in the next day and be like, Rachel is just so strong in her convictions and what she wants, and she knows what she wants. I really do recall you saying that, and it was so nice to see a woman up there who just was knew what she wanted, and even on Nick's season.
And also was very career-focused.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the bachelorettes and the contestants, they don't talk about their careers as if they're super important.
Yeah.
And in fact, a lot of the contestants on Bachelor will say, well, I just want to be a wife and mom. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, I mean, most women work today, so it's not that representative.
I was going to say, no shade, but it's the truth. Most of them don't have careers. Mm-hmm. You know, they come in maybe using it as a springboard for something else. Maybe they're still in a place where they're trying to find themselves because a lot of them are younger. You know, I was still in school at 23, whatever Cassie is. So I was still – so she's a student. I was a student too at that age. So I get it. It's like – it's a little different.
Well, speaking of that, so since you are unusual from the typical profile, why did you decide to be a Bachelor contestant in Nick Viall's season?
It's insane because I didn't even watch the show like that before, but I had two coworkers who I am thankful for to this day.
Yes.
Who came into my office and said, hey, they're having tryouts 2 weeks from now down the street. You should go try out for The Bachelor. And I remember laughing and I was like, you guys, why would I do that? And I don't watch the show, but I know that like the person of color, like the black person, never goes far. I know that's a running joke.
Well, you were the first person, woman of color, who was The Bachelorette.
Yeah. And so for me, it's kind of like the odds are against me. But then I thought, well, why not? I kind of was at a place in my life where I was like, I was complacent. Mm-hmm. I had done everything I said I was going to do professionally, but something was still missing. I didn't feel complete. I didn't feel happy. I wanted more, and I wanted, to be honest, a bit of an escape. So I thought, why not? Let's just see what happens. I'm open to it.
Right. Take 2 months off of work.
That helped. My job was insanely supportive, and I am
Why were they so supportive? They just thought it was great publicity?
That I'm happy that my boss was progressive enough to think of it that way, but he's also a super fan of the show.
Oh, funny.
I didn't know that. And he had just become a fan of the show summer during his vacation. His daughters were watching Bachelor in Paradise. And he was like, what is this thing? Got so sucked in, went back and started watching other seasons.
Oh,
so
my
then
gosh.
Here I come in August. He just got back from vacation. And I'm like, well, I've been approached to do The Bachelorette. He throws his hands up in the air and he's like, yes, go find love.
That's so fantastic.
Like, everything starts aligned for me.
It really did. Now, you are now moving to Miami very shortly. Mm-hmm. And we hear that you're wedding dress shopping or wedding gown shopping. So I assume that there is a wedding date or at least close to that.
Yes. We have said August 2019. My wedding planner has been very strict about me saying, not giving the exact date or location, but it will be in the Caribbean. So it's going to be hot August in the Caribbean. It may come a shock to people to hear me say I'm getting a wedding gown because I was very emphatic about wanting a wedding suit.
Yes.
That's all I wanted to wear was a pantsuit. And then I'm working with Randy Rahm, who designed my dresses, most of them on the show, actually. So it was like I met Brian in a Randy Rahm. He proposed to me in a Randy Rahm. It just makes perfect sense. I have a great relationship with her.
How did you hook up with Randy Rahm?
So she was doing the dresses on the show.
Oh, she was
she wasn't there.
Got it.
But I so connected to her dresses. I know that sounds weird, but I did on the show.
Well, you looked beautiful in them.
Thank you. And they just had so much personality. And I reached out to her, and we've had a relationship ever since the show. I mean, I had dinner with her last night.
Oh.
And so she's doing my dress, and I just feel like she gets me. And mm-hmm. so that's very exciting. And she was the one who said to me, you want to wear something that you can't emulate on a red carpet. You want it to be for you. You want it to be to speak to Brian. And I thought, that's why you're a wedding dress designer. Yes. Because you just got my mind right. Now yeah. I want to wear a dress.
Right, right.
And so August 2019, mm-hmm. that's this August, mm-hmm. in the Caribbean. And Brian, now what made him, well, first of all, what made him out of like, you know, out of the blue decide to be a contestant? And then what makes it work with the two of you so well?
I think, okay, so to answer your first question, he went on the show because he was older too. Mm-hmm. I was 31, turned 32 on the show. He was 37. His best friend called him. He didn't pick up the phone. He was at work. She called him again. She's like, you want to pick up this phone call? I have a friend who's looking for contestants. I think Rachel's who's going to be the Bachelorette. I think y'all would be great together. Hmm. And she said,
this is
I think
so crazy.
So he didn't have to go to like an actual tryout. He just, because his friend knew this producer, he just went to a private one. They were like, you'd be great. And then they just kind of sent him on. And it's perfect how it worked out.
And was he looking for love in particular?
Yeah, for him, he was in a place where that's what he wanted. He had come out of a relationship. He had a 4-year relationship, then was dating, and he was trying everything, then had a serious relationship, and then came out on the show. She didn't get along with his mom, and it
right.
just didn't work out.
Right.
So he was ready. He was in a place where he was ready for something serious. And I think that, to answer your second question, is why things worked for us so well. We were both in a place where we were ready to find one another. So like he always says, timing is everything. And after mm-hmm. going through this whole process, I totally get it. Plus we both had careers. We both had kind of gone through the whole thing of our 20s. We were just in that place in our lives. And plus we just like vibed really well. We connected from the beginning. I gave him my first rose. Mm-hmm. It's insane to me how well we connected. Even our families get along so well. Like when I come next week to go wedding dress shopping, his mom will be here. My mom will be here.
Oh,
they talk
nice.
All the time. Yeah, it fits so great.
I feel like, and I had actually said this when I had watched this season with Colton and Cassie, that I felt like when they were on camera together, and maybe it was the producers, but they just seemed smitten with each other.
Yeah.
And it was the same with you and Brian, that like I almost feel as though if the show didn't happen and you guys met, you know, at a bar, like everyone else, that you guys would still be together.
I think
you know
so
what
too.
I mean? I really do.
I think so too. And like I think it's obvious because I gave him my first rose, which means we had that connection, that physical attraction. You don't really know the person that well at that point, but there's something
it's that first cocktail party.
Yeah. And you're trying to like, I couldn't even remember Brian's name. I was just like, who's that guy who spoke Spanish to me? Like, where mm-hmm. is he? I want to talk to him again. So yeah, definitely that would be the case. And I agree with you with Cassie and Colton.
Yeah.
So he obviously made a good first impression mm-hmm. on you. How quickly did things develop after that?
I would, for me, my top two were my top two pretty much. Well, no, not pretty much. They were the entire time. Mm-hmm. So I knew I had a connection with Brian. I was hesitant with him because he was just like, so we fit together so well that I was like, no, there has to be something that's mm-hmm. wrong. So then after our first date, I thought, no, he's really who he says he is. And then our second date, I thought, okay, this has sealed the deal for me. And then after meeting his family, I remember I had whispered to a producer, I was like, it's Brian, you know, but it's, you still have to keep going. You have to play the game
right.
and go through, which we saw that happen differently mm-hmm. this season with Colton, which is interesting. I don't know what they're going to do moving forward because now he has set a tone. And now other people are going to say, hey, I want to do what Colton did. Because if I had come after Colton and I had seen what he did, I would have said, well, I'm leaving too. I know who I want. I don't want to continue with everyone else. I don't want to do this.
Right.
That makes sense what right. you do in real life.
And right. so you felt like you were doing a show and you felt that responsibility.
Sure.
So you had to keep leading on basically two other guys.
Yeah. And it's not that I didn't care for them. Like, and that's when people are like, oh, you cry so hard. It's like, ask any lead who's in that position. Colton boohooed over Hannah G sending her own.
Yeah.
When you have to break someone's heart, who you've been spending all this time with, who you've made a connection with, there's a reason they made it this far. It hurts to let them they think they're going to spend the rest of your life with you
right.
in some capacity, whether they propose or not. And here you are breaking their heart. That is tough when you care about somebody. And that's something that every lead, including myself, underestimates.
Yeah. Well, it's like JP and Ashley. I remember they have come on our podcast before. And Ashley was like, oh, I knew from day two that it was JP. But they had to go along with the whole thing. And they would sneak out of their hotel rooms and like see each other and stuff. But
did
she,
they really?
Yes. Oh, yeah. They would sneak out and see each other. They would go past producers. JP would like sneak into her hotel room. He'd like scale the hotel walls.
Oh, my God.
And they would like sneak it through. And then she would be like, I'm telling you, I'm choosing you. But then the next day she'd bring someone else on a date. And they were like,
I think Catherine and Sean did some of that too. Because we've interviewed Caitlin.
And Sean Booth.
Caitlin yeah. definitely did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Caitlin did with probably
No, not Caitlin and Sean Booth. It was
And Jordan?
No, it was the guy who was the born again virgin.
Oh, Sean and Catherine. Yeah,
Sean and Catherine. Oh, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Sean and Catherine, because we've had them on the podcast a couple of times. And I think that they knew pretty much right away, too. So they were kind of
I'm such a rule breaker, and I didn't do that. I would give out my hotel room. Number like I put my hand down and I'd be like 5, 2, 3 and they were like we saw you do that, but nobody I never snuck I think I was just too scared to do that kind of thing. I didn't want to mess up a season, and I had heard like Caitlin and other people had done that, so I was like I don't want to do that.
So the time that you got to spend with Brian was like literally in front of the camera. You didn't get any other alone time, and you still had to know
until the fantasy suite. That's when you get alone time, and that's when I like I've
that's
said this
at
before
the end.
That's at the end. You don't have any time. None. Like, we didn't sneak off. I think being a lawyer, being 32, dating, I've been through this whole dating thing, you know, I just knew what I was looking for, and I knew I would, when I saw it, I would know it.
Yeah.
Well, at least you get the opportunity to kiss a lot.
You do.
Because they want you to kiss. So you're like making out with all these guys. So I guess you could also at least be able to tell you've got some kind of physical connection because you're kissing them.
Oh, yeah. Brian was an amazing. People like got on his kissing because it was in your face. And I guess I like it.
So yeah, he kissed you like the first night.
He did, and it was so good.
He was the first one.
He was.
Well, that's remember how it goes usually. The first kiss, they usually win.
It was so good because I had some bad kissers, I'm not even going to lie. But Brian was, we were just like in sync.
And you had to keep kissing them.
I loved it.
Yeah. Like, you have to keep kissing guys. Ew,
no one's a worse
kisser
to watch than Ari. Ari is the most disgusting kisser to watch.
I know. I was thankful for him when he came after us. I was like, Brian, he's got you beat.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's so interesting that you really had to make a decision about somebody based on the time. Now, when you were, though, at your dinners, because you have a couple of your alone dates, did you get more time than we saw on camera to actually be able to talk?
Yes, you definitely. Those dates are probably about an hour, maybe a little bit longer.
It's not even that long.
But you see 7 minutes at best of it. So we do get more time with each other. And then, like, there are some moments where the camera's not on you and you might be standing there and you might talk to each other. Like, I remember Brian and I were in the car one time together and it just wasn't filmed. Peter and I got to travel. We went on that glacier and we had to come back in a car, and we were together the whole time without a camera.
That's
so
nice.
Like, there was producers around, but we still had time off camera.
Right, so that you get to have longer conversations. Mm-hmm. Well, because there are contestants that are clearly there to become famous.
Sure.
And was that easy to tell?
For me, it was, and I don't always get things right, but I do feel like I can read people well, and it was a good skill to have, obviously, in this situation. And so there was one obvious. I had the Waboom guy. Do y'all remember?
Oh, yeah.
That was clear what he was there for, but you know what's crazy? We got along so well that y'all didn't see. Like, if he had put down the megaphone and the T-shirts, he probably would have stayed longer and not engaged in some of the drama in the house. Mm-hmm. He was older, and he, like, went to Berkeley, and so we would have these really good conversations that people didn't get to see, but it was obvious he was there for fame.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones, I just was kind of like, you're not really into me. Maybe you're just, this is an opportunity to see what could happen. I kind of got the feel with that.
Yeah.
So for the wedding, are you going to be having some of the other bachelor and bachelorettes? Is there going to be a heavy bachelor contingent?
So I wouldn't say heavy. I told them originally none of them are coming. And that was just because
Corinne probably flipped out.
Corinne, it will be invited for sure. Yeah. But not all the girls will. And I do get along with all the girls that I was on next season with. So it's hard. But I really am kind of ruthless when it comes to this wedding. And
what about Vanessa?
Vanessa won't come.
She was not nice to you.
She wasn't, but we've since made up. Like we both just had it was on both of us, and so we've since cool with each other, but not cool enough to where I wouldn't be expected to be invited to her wedding and vice versa. I talk to consistently.
Did you not get along because you seriously were both interested in Nick?
No, that's not why I didn't get along with her. I sat back and I observed certain things in the house that I wasn't comfortable with. And I'm like, I don't have to be close with everybody. That's not something I really want to be affiliated with. So I just stuck to my girls and I had my core of friends. And it was fine when there were a lot of people in the house. But as the numbers got smaller, it was very obvious that I was avoiding her. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's when things came to a head and things were misinterpreted as maybe I was ostracizing her, but I just was staying away from her. And that was my personal thing. And so we just didn't get along towards the end.
Yeah. Huh. Oil and what did Hannah and Caitlin say the other day? Oil and vinegar? Oil and water?
Yeah.
And water. And some people are. Yeah. There's a lot of girls in that house.
Yeah. But it's interesting because she also had forced Nick to have serious conversations.
Yeah, she did. And she was one of the older ones in the house. And I think for her, it was very serious. I mean, because like she said, I'm very close with my family. You live here. I live in a different country. Right. And she was taking it seriously. And I respected that with her, too. And I think that that's why maybe there was some contention at the end, too, because it was very real for her. And I will always say that about her process. It was real for her. I don't think – I never thought she was in it for anything other than for him.
Mm-hmm.
So who else will be going to your wedding?
So I'm close with Astrid, Raven, Alexis, Whitney, Christina, Corinne. Those are for sure people. Because those are people that I talk to regularly.
Yeah. And you guys always go out together, like when you're all in LA, because I know Corinne well. So I like love always, her. I love you guys all together. It's so fun.
I do. I am very fortunate with the group of girls that I was on Nick's season with. They're just a different breed. I watch girls in other seasons and I'm like, I don't know if I would have fit in with that bunch. I had a great group of women.
You really did.
And what about some of the other male contestants? Did Brian get close to any of them?
It's weird when you win, for lack of better words, you're kind of separated from the other men. The other men all have this group chat where they like talk bad about the lead. Even the women do it. The women do it too. You know, there's this group chat that they invite you in. Even the producers warn you about it. They're like, don't get in that group chat. I think Reality Steve is in that group chat, which is how he spoils things because
bad idea.
He knows everything and people talk about everything in these group chats. And so if you win, you're not in it, so you don't have that camaraderie that those guys have because they don't want you to hear them talking about whoever you chose.
Right.
And so he has some that he's close to.
Definitely.
There's some that he's close to, like Matt, on my season. You didn't see a lot of him, but he was one of the good ones.
Is Matt the Canadian?
No. Matt is from Connecticut.
Okay.
And a lot of people were like, he came in a penguin outfit. And they were like, how did he make it so far? And I'm like, he was such a good guy. I cried really, really hard when he left. Nobody talks about that, but I did. They showed it. But Adam will probably be there because of Raven. Kevin will probably be there with Astrid. And then Matt, Eric, that's who he's close to.
Amazing. Well, I think that's a decent contingency. But Chris Harrison is not like
he's not officiating.
He's invited.
I'm inviting several people behind the scenes, and like that. I was close with actually the lady who did my makeup on the show is going to do my makeup for the wedding. Carrie, the stylist, is going to come to my final fitting because I still talk to these people. I'm so close with them. And so they'll be at the wedding.
Well, it's how you found love.
Yeah.
I mean, and you do, you know, you'll pay tribute to that. Now, I really want to talk about after the final rose and what you thought of last night's finale, but also how it compares to yours and the essay that you had written after Becca's season.
So, you see they've never done what they did with me again to any other contestant because it was so much. So normally what happens is as the lead, you get every episode before, like 3 or 4 days before it airs, you get to see it. So it's nice because you can sit down with your significant other. You can kind of prepare them for, oh, sorry, I made out with this person.
Right, talk it out.
You know, have those tough conversations. It's very, very hard. So you have that. Well, for the finale, for me, for the first time, they did not let me watch it before. Normally, you get to watch it behind the scenes. They had me watch it on stage in front of a live audience and sit there for 3 hours.
That's so hard.
Never happened before because they thought, oh, she can handle it. She can't control her facial expressions, so that'll be good TV, and we can get like natural reactions out of her.
Now, just remind us, in the fantasy suites, did you do more than one?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I had three fantasy suites. Right. Yeah.
But was it serious in more than one?
Maybe. They were all serious to me. I will say they were all serious to me because I had a list of questions that I was asking the men. And that was very important for me. Like, yes, we were alone, but I need to ask you questions that I don't get to ask on camera. You know, like
so
politics.
Smart,
that is Rachel. That was like so big for me. Politically, I needed to know what you think. You know, religion, where do you stand?
Yeah.
How do you want to raise kids? Those were, I had a long list of questions. I actually found my list the other day that I had gotten.
Super important questions.
Yeah. And then I took questions that my family had from meeting the men. I took questions that his family had with me. I wrote them down.
That is brilliant, Rachel.
Serious for me. And then I'm like, we can have fun.
Right.
But like, let's get down to business first. So they were all serious in that regard. That's as far as I'll go with that. Let's just say I had a lot of fun.
And then the final episode, just the two, right? Because that's the typical final episode, is just the two.
No, it's three.
Well, now it's three starting with my season. Right. They changed it again. So they had me deal with Eric on stage for the first time. And I'm watching our breakup and watching how it's edited. And then they had me do the same thing with Peter, which I knew it was an emotional breakup. And I had already told Brian about it. I was like, you're going to have a hard time watching it. It was very real, but I can always say that in the moment I gave it my all and I saw everything through. What they didn't show you is that I walked in going to send him home that night, but we had maybe a 5-hour breakup. I'm not even exaggerating.
Wow. Why so long?
It was like he wanted to keep talking. He wanted me to stay the night. He wanted, it was hard for me to say goodbye too. You know,
of course.
Like you wanted to see the whole thing through, like talk everything out, have that closure conversation. Because for me, I knew it was going to be it. So it's like I wanted to talk it out. And then he was revealing new feelings to me in this conversation. I wasn't ready for that. I always have said he reminds me of the guys that I dated before. Mm-hmm. And just giving me just a little bit to stay along in the relationship. And so I was fighting that old me versus what I knew was right for me. And it was a tough breakup, and I've never denied it. Well, anyways, I have to watch all this on stage for the first time. And then he comes out and Chris Harrison says to me things like, and he had this infamous line of saying, well, if you don't choose me, you're going to live a mediocre life.
Right.
Well, I forgot he said that. It was 3 months ago. So I'm watching it and I'm like boiling. I'm like, he did say that to me. Like the audacity to say that.
Yeah.
So Chris Harrison says to me, you seem angry. Okay. I was mad about that because that's just, I hadn't raised my voice. I hadn't rolled my eyes. I hadn't done anything. And it's just like, you can't say that honestly to a black woman because then you're going to be labeled as the angry black female.
Right.
Which I was after that. Everybody talked about how angry and bitter I was. Then Peter comes and says, you said I was living a mediocre life. I'm actually living my best life. And I kind of flip my hair and turn to the side. So when we come back from commercial, Peter goes, I feel like you attacked me. That's all I said. Social media ran with it. Articles. Rachel attacked him. Oh, she was so, she's still upset. She's still bitter. That's who she wanted. She only wanted a ring. That's why she, it was the, everything the way it was set up, the questions that I was asked. It was a nightmare when it should have been the happiest day of my life.
Right, I see.
And people were so fixated. And our breakup was longer than my proposal and engagement airtime with Brian. So the whole thing, the whole drama was my breakup. And that's all they focused on. Fast forward to Becca's season, who I was so happy for. I was on her season. I was rooting for her.
Yes.
I like Becca. I still do to this day. I just think she's just like a genuine, great person.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, she had controversy surrounding her season with the guy she picked and him liking certain pictures. And there was this whole thing about it. They didn't even really focus on that. They asked him like two questions and they moved on. You might not have agreed with her pick, but you saw the progression of her love story and you understood it. I didn't get that with Brian.
Mm-hmm.
They focused more on my relationship with Peter, my number two. I was upset about that. Becca also didn't sit on stage for 3 hours and get grilled and was put on like display that entire time. She got to hide behind the back, which is what you see now, and only was brought out at certain moments. So I was very upset about that. So I, after watching Becca's season, it almost made me emotional. And I just put pen to the paper, and I was blogging for Us Weekly at the time, and I just wrote about the Bachelor franchise and do they care about you having a happy ending? For some people they do, for some they don't. And then I talked about all the feelings that I felt that day that I had never expressed before. One, because I was out of contract, and so now I can voice that opinion. And I talked about being labeled an angry black female, being put on display for 3 hours. No one else had to do that. The things, the jabs that were thrown at me, not because my dress looked a certain way, not because I wore my hair or my makeup, because of the color of my skin.
Yeah.
And I talked about that and how nobody has gone through that to this point. And I don't know if they ever will, because they haven't had another lead of color, period. And so since then, I've just kind of taken a step back from the franchise. And I'm not anti it, because I did find love, and that is the goal. But I don't want to put myself in a position where I can be cut and pasted in a certain way for people
for
to...
For television.
Yes.
For traumatic television.
Yeah.
Which is what they were doing.
Yeah. And I understand all of that, but to see it not happen with other people in the way that it happened with me was very, very upsetting. When, sad to say, you have to be sensitive about certain things because of the way people think, and because this was an audience that had never seen a person of color in this role before. And they played into certain stereotypes and was really upsetting to me.
They could have been great, and they blew it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To this day, people still question, even with what happened in Colton and Cassie's season, people are still tweeting at me and messaging me and saying, well, at least Colton followed his heart, unlike you. You followed a ring, because of how it was shown on the show.
I don't understand. Like, because they thought you liked that ring better or something?
They thought all I wanted to do was be engaged, and that's how the show showed it.
But if you only wanted to be engaged, then you could have chosen Peter.
But Peter pulled a little Cassie.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah,
he got a little like
he wasn't
feet.
Ready. He wasn't ready.
He wasn't
that's
ready.
Right.
And so they're like, "Well, you if that's who you
then why
based
did he
on
take
your
so
emotion,
long to break up? Like if he wasn't ready."
Well, he actually said, "I'll propose to you if that's what you want."
Right.
And I but nobody heard that. And it was aired, and I still said no. One, because he wasn't what I wanted, and and even if he was, that wouldn't be the way that I wanted it. So it just was like, now I'm getting compared to like that season two,
right.
And it's like people won't let it go, and it's all because of how it was aired. When all I wanted to do was send him home, because I didn't think it was right for him to be standing up there at the end when I knew what I was going to do.
And you knew from day one that it was Brian, but the edit didn't show that. Like, and I even remember being like, who's Brian? You know, you probably didn't even realize who Brian was until you had five people left, because they just didn't give him the airtime.
They didn't build it.
And Hannah G, I was pretty proud of her the other day, because she was like, and now I've realized that my edit didn't really, you guys don't really know who I am at all, because all they showed was her like half naked and kissing him the whole time. She came off like an airhead.
Right. And getting the Southern etiquette.
Right. And that was it. Whereas, and she's mad. She's definitely mad too.
I really liked her and the way she handled herself in the finale.
I did too.
And I was like, wow, there was so much more to her that we just didn't get.
Yeah, and I was, that's how I felt too. I was shocked, because I thought, wow, I'm really liking Hannah G. And I'd never really felt like she was a person before.
Right. Because they didn't show us that. And they didn't show us your side of the relationship with Brian. And they were focusing on, you know, Peter with the like steamy hair and whatever. And that's why people were so confused.
And I understand. That's what I have come out and said, too. I get why people are confused. I get why people think that because that's what everyone was saying. Oh, she just wanted a ring. So she settled for what was a sure thing. I totally understand why someone would say that, because that is how it looks watching the show.
Well, I kept wondering why you kept Peter around, because he didn't seem to be ready yet. Like, just like how Colton wasn't ready, he wasn't ready. Not Colton, Cassie.
For me, he was always the guy I liked second best. And so you do keep the people around. Like, there was a point where I was going to send him home when there were the top three. But then I thought, well, Eric has already professed his love, and I would hate to make him think that it's even further down. At least Peter hasn't confessed feelings of love yet, so it'll be easier to send him home because he's not there yet.
Right.
And then we get to the breakup, and
so
he's
like,
logic. And he's like, there was logic until we get to the breakup.
To be, right?
Logic. Yeah. And when I was trying to break up with him, he was like, no, I'm in love with you. These feelings are new. So it's like, then he said that, and it was like, this was supposed to be an easy breakup. You don't even love me. So it's like, it's whatever.
Right. And then they didn't show that.
No, they showed him saying, I'm in love with you.
Right, but they showed him, but they didn't show her reaction.
They saw, heard what they wanted to hear. They saw what they wanted to see. And Brian looked like the charming, Rico Suave, Miami guy who was just like, they made him look slimy a little bit. I'm not even going to lie. They did.
And they kind of made his mom look crazy. Like, I remember his mom, like, they made his mom look like crazy because it was like the whole storyline with like his ex-girlfriend not getting along with her. Okay, his mom, I would love her to be like, I want to be her friend. Like, she's amazing. Is epic.
She's so much fun.
She's so fun.
Yeah, I didn't think they made Brian look slimy, but I was worried about you with his mom, the way they portrayed her, because I thought, oh no, she's not going to be welcoming. She's going to be interfering in your life.
No, she's like, you love my son, I love you. And she actually said that. They just didn't air that part. And for Brian, they played into every Latin stereotype possible. If you even go back and watch, when he comes into the room, they play Spanish music.
Like, why? I just don't get
and
it.
It's things you don't notice, but subconsciously, like, that's you're so watching funny. That.
Right. And you're like, oh, because he's Latino and very intense. With his Latino side.
Yeah. They played into every stereotype. And so they know their audience. They know what they're doing. There's a reason this show has been on for 17 years. And that's what I tell people. And sometimes people are critical of me because they're like, well, you talk about the way things were edited with you. How could you be so critical of Cassie and Colton? And I'm like, well, I'm not that critical. I'm actually rooting for them because I would want people to find it. But it's not critical when the girl ran away from you, when the girl is giving you every single reason to send her home and she keeps telling you, I don't want to commit a relationship. I don't know. That's not edited. That's what she said.
She kept saying she was so confused and she didn't know if she could get there. Yeah. So I take it that you're not having your wedding filmed.
No, I am not.
Not for television, at least, for memories.
I will tell you, and I actually haven't said this before, but I'm going to do something with the show to show, I think they want to do something where it shows, you know, we do support their relationship and maybe we didn't show it in the best way. So there will be something. I'm not going to have a full out special or anything, but you will see something in the future of Brian and I sitting down that will be in some type of Bachelor related thing. But they will not
will
be at
be
our
a
wedding.
Separate, like a separate episode?
No, it'll be in conjunction with something else that they're doing. But they'll do something for us. So
like a little clip at the end of Paradise or something like that. A little homage.
I honestly don't know how it'll play out, but I know that they want to do something.
Yeah.
Okay, so good. Tuned. Okay, so we can look forward to a special. Will it be after the wedding or before the wedding?
Before the wedding.
Before the wedding. Okay. Now, let's talk about Colton and Cassie.
Oh, let's go.
Let's go.
Have you met them in person?
No, but here's a funny story. So I'm very close with the stylist, Carrie Fetman. And I was staying in his place. I usually do when I go to LA. And it's separated in three floors. So I'm downstairs in the room, in the bed. and I can hear someone in the room next to me, and it's like, you can tell they're moving around, going through boxes. And I'm like, what is that? And Carrie never comes downstairs. So I go, Carrie, is that you? And the voice goes, no, it's Colton. And he said, I said, oh my God, like I'm in like sleep clothes, the door's closed. At the time I was wearing a wig. I was like, I don't even have my wig on. This is so embarrassing. I was like, this is embarrassing. And he goes, Rachel, is that you? And I go, oh God. I go, don't come in here. That's as close as I've gotten to Colton. And he was like, I'm just looking for something, and like ran out. So no, I haven't met him officially. I've met him through a door.
Through a door.
And I've never met Cassie.
But you aren't, how do you feel about the future of their relationship?
So the one thing I do like hold back on is trying to predict how I think they're going to be, because there was just so much negativity around my own, and people still don't think Brian and I are going to make it until mm-hmm. we actually walk down the aisle. So who knows what can happen? However, I will say she is so impressionable, and she is so easily influenced by her family. And they weren't at the finale. Know that. Mind you, they live in California, so it was nothing for them to be there. And you've seen in these past few seasons, families come.
I said that yesterday.
Why didn't they come?
I don't think they're on board with it. They're a very religious and traditional family, yes. Which I come from that as well. And it sounds like they are thinking about living together. That's probably against their beliefs.
Colton said he's moved to California to be near her.
Yeah, and that's against... And I mean, as a parent watching, they're seeing their daughter. I mean, her dad flew to Portugal to say, I know you, you're not ready. If you were, this is what you would have said. They know their child. And I think that Colton is chasing, very close to smothering her. And I think that the family sees it that way. I don't think they're 100% on board when it comes to that. But as far as their relationship goes, I think that... the ball's in her court. Mm-hmm. She's running it. And as long as Colton is fine being in that position and letting her do things her way, the way she wants to, I think they'll be successful. My advice to them, though, is to stay out of the media and try to work on building the foundation of their relationship, because now it's when it started. Right. Not when you're in hiding for 3 months. This is it. Today, 5, 6 p.m., when they're done doing their media round and there are no more cameras in their face, that's going to be when it starts. So if you see them do another reality TV show or one of them does Dancing with the Stars, then I think their relationship is doomed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why do so many of the relationships like die after Dancing with the Stars?
That is a grueling, from my understanding, process. And like you enter another world where the cameras are all in your face and you're dancing 10 hours a day. And it's like, you just got out of this TV world only to jump back in it. You're not nurturing the relationship that you have. For Brian and I, we went back home to Dallas.
And did you deliberately not want to do Dancing with the Stars for that reason?
I came out and said, I just, it's not for me. I want to focus on our relationship. We need time away from the camera. We went to Dallas. Then we went to Houston to see my extended family. Then we went to Miami to see his. We surrounded ourselves with people that are the most influential in mm-hmm. our life. And I think that really allowed us to be a strong force against all the negativity that we were facing from the media. And I would suggest Cassie and Colton do that. I don't think they will. I think that we will see them in front of cameras mm-hmm. doing their own thing. And I think as long as they stay caught up in that whirlwind, they'll work as well. But
right. They need to. Because they feel like they have to.
Yeah. It's all very exciting. Can you imagine being 23 and this is your new life? Same thing I say with Hannah B as The Bachelorette. She's having the time of her life right now.
Yeah. What's not to like?
Right.
Yeah.
But then what happens? I have a community question from one of our members, Vicky Kaptur. She asks, when was the last time you remember getting bullied and what did you do to combat it?
Ooh, great question. I'm bullied every day.
On social media,
mm-hmm. which I will say it's Vicky.
Vicky,
I'll say it is hard because I didn't come from this world, mm-hmm. right? I think I had like 400 followers on Instagram. I didn't even have a Twitter account when I did all of this. So it's a whole new world, and it's hard. You know, people see me as confident and strong, but I definitely have my weak moments. So, I mean, I was literally just bullied the other day on Instagram because people are comparing, again, questioning my relationship and basically calling me Ring Lindsay. That's what they call me on Twitter.
That's awful.
And are saying that I followed a ring and I should have done what Colton did and followed my heart as if I didn't.
Right.
But I'm getting all of that again. It's like digging it all up, things that happened 2 years ago. So the best way for me to combat it is, one, to not entertain it. Mm-hmm. Some things you just can't help but see. You know, you're not looking for it. It finds you. But my biggest advice is knowing who you are and knowing your worth and your value and not measuring it by other people's standards is the healthiest way to combat it. Don't play into it. I used to clap back at people. Don't do that either. That's a rabbit hole.
It's a waste of time.
Right. Yeah. It just won't do anything for you. So just stay strong in who you are and don't let other people's opinions define you. And that's how I combat it.
I love it. I love it so much. And I'm just going to shout out quickly all of our members. Lord Pumpkin, Lindy Korn, Ann Kay, Watching and Making with Wolf Girl, Shauna Battle, Ethan, Vicky, Like You Licks, Chula Mami, Bruna Daniels, The Co-op 2, Kaylee Beloka, Nija Muma Muma, Leah 3, Tony Hoffensets, Franklin McLeod, Jessica Kent, Kelly Faith, Porcelain Moon, Mon Vibot, Preston, Alexander Rossi, Night Runner, Tyler Flays, and Maria Underwood. Woo, we have a lot of them.
Whoa.
Hey, guys.
Now, I've got another question about sort of wedding personal stuff, and then we want to hear about your exciting kind of new career that you're pursuing.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
yes.
What about kids? Are you planning?
I'm like ready. I have the worst baby fever. I see a child and I'm just like, give them to me. We'll babysit. I don't even know the kids.
I do that too.
It is so in me. I mean, I'm going to be 34 next month. I told Brian's 39 already. I said, Brian, the moment that we like hoping, I think my parents would just die if it happens before. They're like, oh, God. Parents. They're so very traditional. They'd die. If it happens the way that we would like for it to, I'm like going to want to start trying as soon as we get married.
You're like in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
The
I am
of.
Like ready.
Yeah.
Right.
So you'll be off the birth children. Control.
Already not on birth control.
Oh, so it could happen.
Yeah. That's why it I could. Say like,
yeah.
You're like, we're trying.
Yeah.
Now I'm kind of scared to get on it just cause I'm like older. So it's like, I don't want to start it again.
Yeah.
I haven't been on it in years. So I'm just like, I don't want to start now.
The hormones are just a lot for like some people's bodies. Like I just
that's
didn't,
why
like,
I stopped.
Me too. I just yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
But I mean if you can be more careful than others. So you're gonna stop being careful probably like close to the wedding.
Yeah. I'm like ready. I'm so ready for kids, you guys.
Oh well,
plus you're gonna
really
wanna be able to drink at the wedding. Like that's what I always think
of.
I didn't even think about that.
I do always think about that.
Sacrifices like can be made.
Want
to get drunk
and then
wedding.
I do I so do but then you know everyone would notice if I wasn't drinking
exactly
at the wedding
too.
You can't say I'm on a cleanse on your wedding
start trying like 2 weeks before or something and then you won't know or like a month before you still won't know
that's right
I mean, I don't know. I'm not pregnant. I've never been pregnant, but this is just my friend was on a bachelorette with me last year and she was pregnant and she didn't know and literally girl drank a lot and the baby's fine.
Yeah, but it happens a lot. Like,
yes.
On the
well, my first was a surprise and I was on birth control and he was still a surprise.
Whoa.
And yes, we were drinking. Like we went out for drinks and dinners and stuff because I had no idea.
No,
you know,
they
used to in the old days.
The old
think
days,
you can
thanks.
Drink.
Thanks a lot.
No, I'm talking about back in the 1400s when like they'd give whiskey to the people having babies so they wouldn't hurt.
But they also had a lot of children that were born in the 1400s that had issues.
True.
but anyway. My oldest, he's fine. So
I'm gonna get fired.
So I'm glad to hear that. You're planning to have kids and we'll be starting very shortly.
And now the question is, am I going to like have them all over Instagram like other people do? I don't know if I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I feel like you wouldn't.
Will you introduce
I know
the
you
baby
so well.
On Instagram?
Probably. I think it's hard. It's like a tough line because I don't want to exploit my children. But people are also so invested in your relationship and your wedding because you found it all in front of everyone. So it's a fine line. I have to do something, but I won't go to the extreme that other people are going.
You mean creating an Instagram for a baby when it's still in the womb?
And that baby has a lot of followers.
Yeah. And I don't know why, because nobody likes them.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
I think people are like coming around. They seem really cute and perfect for each
they
other.
They do.
Well, you can also introduce your baby on Hollywood Life.
We would love to
have the first photos of your baby.
You don't have to do it. We can.
Yeah. And we will be, and there's no comments on Hollywood Life.
Oh,
yeah. So it's a safe place.
You're reeling me in.
It's a safe place to introduce your baby. You can't be bullied.
But before you have a baby, you have your ESPN radio show, which we definitely want to talk about very quick.
My new baby.
Your new baby. Your firstborn.
Yes. So I think a lot of people, I was billed as an attorney.
Yes.
But you don't know the path I got to become an attorney. So I was a sports management major at the University of Texas. Then I went to Marquette Law strictly for sports law. And then any lawyer will tell you, whatever you do in school, like you end up doing something completely different. But I always have had this love and passion for sports. And another thing people assume is that because I was with ABC, that ESPN is a natural progression. Not true. I did go to ESPN right after the show, and they were like, we like you, but our sports audience doesn't know who you are and doesn't relate to
you. They don't watch The Bachelorette. Right.
Yeah. They're like, they're into sports.
Yeah. They're like, you don't relate. So, no. And, like, Jordan Rodgers did that, JoJo's fiance, but he played football. His brother's Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. There's a difference. He's a male. There's a difference. With females, you need a little bit more credibility. So I thought, okay. That was a door that was closed. I went to another network, door closed. So I thought, okay, I'll just start doing this on my own. And so I just started making my own reel. I did work for Facebook, Stadium through sports. I tapped into the entertainment side. I would appear, guest host, do things for free, fly myself out there until somebody noticed me at ESPN, gave me a chance on the biggest stage on TV. And from then on, I got a contract with them. And so I've been doing radio, which I had a football show this football season. And now I do a sports radio show or sports talk show. And it's called GTL. It's 12 to 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. And I'm with two other guys. We have so much fun doing it. You should
I bet you do.
Yeah, everybody tune in to Sirius XM Channel 80 or on the app. 12 to 4 to listen to Rachel. And you also are on do live Twitter shows, don't you?
Yes. Thank you. I do. Basketball right now is what I'm starting with. So college basketball, we've got the March Madness tournament coming up. We're doing a live Twitter show on the 21st. It'll be from 12 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
Eastern. I won't be on the whole time, but it's such a fun show. The guys that are so great that are doing it. And it's just fun to like fill out your brackets, even if you're not into basketball. And then I'll do NBA shows as well, hoping to do it again for the playoffs. And we do a pregame show where we preview the two teams and talk about some of the surrounding stories around those teams and then just what's going on in the league.
Well, I say ESPN needs you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. They really do. They need more women
They need more women. And also women who can, I'm not saying dumb it down for like other girls, but like who can explain it in terms that girls will understand and relate to.
No,
honestly,
I love that you say that because something that I am working on. Well, okay,
yes, first. Go for it. Tell us.
I am working on, and the only thing is because I haven't trademarked the name of it yet. But I want to do something on social media where I am helping, and not just. I started off wanting it to be women, but I'm like, why does it have to be gender specific? There are a lot of guys that don't watch sports.
Yeah.
But sports has helped me so much. Get invited to like the all boys lunch, or even if when I was dating. Be on a date and be conversational when it comes to sports. So I want to create something that's a quick rundown of what's happening this week in sports, just so like, and I want to dish it out first thing Monday morning. So if you're grabbing your coffee at work, if you're going on like some type of online dating app, you just want to like have pillow talk with your husband, or you're just like at a watch party and you have no idea what to say. I just want to give you little nuggets that help you fake it till you make it.
Yes.
And you're able to talk sports.
Yeah. Like,
and
the
where
skin
will this
kinda.
Run? Where will this
love
run?
Love that. I love that idea that so idea much.
I actually pitched that idea to them and they're like, oh, our audience isn't into sports.
I will do this with you. I love it.
Where will this run, this idea?
So right now, I think I'm just going to do it for fun on my social media. It's super informal, and we'll see if it gets picked up and if it's something else, because you're right. It's not saying dumb down. It's just like, I'm just going to help you fake it. Like, oh my God, I cannot believe, you know, Kyler Murray's throwing today or whatever.
And then you might understand it and might be interested in it. And, you know, you're telling them just what they need to know. That doesn't mean that they have to... I don't know. I just know that I used to sit and watch with my parents, who are huge sports fans, and I would ask them questions and they would give me a like great breakdown of it. Mm-hmm. And because they're coaches themselves, so they could talk like that and explain it to me. But no one, my friends don't, you know, get it or know that stuff, and they want to, but you know, and I love that idea. I've thought of things like that for a while, and I love that you're going to do that.
Well, my son plays soccer. He's on a club team, and he's going to play soccer at college. And I still don't understand what an offside is.
So
they're
Rachel,
always going offside.
No, I will admit, soccer is. I don't know why it's so confusing to me. I never grew up playing or watching it, but Brian is a huge soccer fan, and so I watched the World Cup with him this past summer. Yeah. So I understand it a little bit more. And my radio show host is Taylor Twellman. He's one of them. And he's like a big soccer guy. Played 10 years.
Oh, it's fun to watch. Yeah. It's great.
So I learn a lot through him too now.
Offsides well, that too many people are on the one side of the field.
I thought it was like when you're the attacking from the other, from the opposite from the team side. Trying to get the goal. You're trying to get a goal and you cross.
You cross the overlay. It's over. Too many people on the other side.
Oh, I thought it wasn't too many. I thought it was that you cross too early or you have to have one of the other team with you.
Yeah, like there's too many. Right.
Like certain number of people have to be back. Right. And you can't.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cross.
So if one comes, is so trying to come
confused.
Over.
Okay, we'll take
it's
this
something
off.
Like that.
Okay, we'll edit Rachel's that Rachel's going to break it down. She's going to figure it out.
Watch her show.
And break it down on her social media with her new project.
And that's why we're in entertainment, people.
Well, Rachel, amazing. It's been so great to have you here and have fun wedding dress shopping because that's your next mission. Have even more fun baby making.
I will.
Be sure to let us know when you have news. And we really wish you well on the wedding and on moving to Miami. And it's all very exciting. So we want to keep in touch with everything. And everyone, don't forget to turn into her to listen to her Sirius XM show.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. It's been fun.
Okay,
so
really fun.
Next time you and Brian can come in together post wedding.
Oh, yeah.
We can
do
a little recap.
Yes.
We'll come back.
Okay,
amazing.
Good. Okay, that's got to be a promise.
Oh, I promise. I keep my word.
She does.
Okay,
good. I'm sure.
Okay.
I'm like she does because I met her an hour ago and we're literally best friends.
Okay, everybody. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
And good luck. Rachel Lindsay, Bachelorette, and she's going to be bride soon. Bye-bye.